Blog Talk Radio.
John 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Amen, amen, amen. We welcome you tonight to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'd like to thank you for joining us, all those who've called in. And if you called in at 646-668-2636, we thank you for joining us. We see you here on the switchboard. Thank you for taking time on your Monday evening to join us, and hopefully the discussion will be a blessing to you. All those who are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, we also want to welcome you. Tonight we're going to be talking about the fellowship of the saints, our relationship with other believers. You know, we here in the church, I know sometime in, we have a tradition, and I'm not sure, this is, I think this is across cultural lines. We talk about fellowship, it's always about a fellowship meal that we got to be eating, and we're eating, but we're going to talk a little bit more about fellowship and get some insights, and want to encourage the importance of us drawing together. Especially, we should be able to take time and meditate on this, being in the situation we're in here throughout the country, when we talk about this, the social distancing and the separation, when churches are missing out on the physical being together in the buildings, a lot of things have been shut down. So we talk about what real fellowship is about. Is it really all about having a meal and chicken and some food and some mac and cheese? And is that fellowship, or is the fellowship in the same even where we are now? Are we still in fellowship one to another, and what that looks like? So if you called in at 646-668-2636, press 1 on your keypad. We can bring you in. You can ask questions, share your insight, your wisdom on our topic tonight, and just be part of the discussion. We're at Issues Christian Men's Talk. We just want to encourage the brothers right where they are, where they are in their faith, encourage them to grow, encourage them to be the leaders in the home, in the church, and in the community, to continue to move forward and grow in the things of God and grow in the things of Christ. Amen? Amen. Well, today I'm going to start off with I was recently doing some reading and some studying with something, and I wanted to share that with the body, with the brothers that are tonight. It's about evangelism. I found study material about tips for evangelism, and I wanted to share those moving forward for this next month of April. In April and May, hopefully we'll be back out and about in May, June, or whatever it is. We still have opportunities. Those of us who are still working, we're on the front lines. Well, not necessarily on the front lines, but we are still essential personnel, and we're still working. There's always opportunity for the gospel, because the people we work with may still be in fear, insecure. They may have loved ones who are sick, and these are the opportunities where we have to be able to share the word of God and share with boldness, share with love, and share with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? But one of the tips I want to share tonight is going to evangelism always starts with obedience, and I think that's one of the things us as the church, we need to remember. Jesus gave us a great commission in Matthew 28:19-20. And it's as simple as that. You know, are we going to obey the commands of Christ as Christians? Are we going to, Jesus gave us a lot of commandments, and then his word directs us to do a lot of things in our life, and evangelism is one of them. It's just that simple. It's not about the evangelists because we turned good works into titles and labels in the church, but we are all called to fulfill the Great Commission, to go forth, preach the gospel, and make disciples. And I don't know about most of the brothers out there, but if you've been in church a while, we hear a lot of excuses on why people don't want to go out and do evangelism and be part of an evangelism effort. Or, you know, there's a lot of excuses out there, you know, but some of it is fear. So the first things first is obedience to God. And when we're being obedient to God in these things, we shouldn't have fear. We shouldn't worry about insecurities. Just be obedient to the thing, because we have to overcome those fears instead of just letting it overcome us to the point where we're not sharing the gospel. If we're not going to share the gospel, who will? And then again, consider who shared the gospel with you. They didn't live a life before you, or explained and taught you the gospel. Where would your soul be destined for if someone didn't share with you? So why wouldn't you get to the point where you can do the same thing for someone else? Because remember, there's something I always talk about here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, is that the gospel is going to be heard. There's a soul out there that's only going to receive the gospel message from you, not from the pastor, not from the TV evangelist, not for the pastor of the megachurch, not none of that. He's going to hear it from you, and he's only going to receive it from you, that they might know Christ through us. And we are all called to share the gospel, and again, to fulfill the Great Commission. So we have to learn how to answer the questions and objections. And the only way we can do that is to build ourselves up to be more confident to answer a question. I always say, you know, to people when we go out and evangelize, the question is, a lot of people don't assume people are just attacking your faith when they ask you a question. They could ask you a question because things they don't know, don't understand. We cannot assume that everyone here in America or in your town, your city, your community has heard the gospel, because they most likely have not. Then heard it and then outflout, I reject it and say Jesus was a liar and I don't believe nothing Jesus done. Most people are not like that. Most people have not heard the pure gospel and was given understanding and knowledge of it. And that's where we come in as the body of Christ. Amen? And the other thing is we have to pray. Are we praying as a church to evangelize the lost? Are we really? Because if that's our prayer, then God's going to answer that prayer by using us. So are we praying? And are we overcoming our fears? And are we studying that we can go out and answer? I know a lot of people talk about evangelism, living their life and being an example, which is that, I mean, there's a place for that. But let's talk about evangelizing to the stranger. Remember, Paul and Peter and the other apostles, they went outside of Jerusalem, went outside of Israel, and preached to the Gentiles. So they had this, they're preaching to people who had no background in Judaism and was bringing the message of Jesus Christ. Think about that. That's why, if we read the book of Acts, if we read how they evangelized to the Gentiles, you know, that's who we are. We are evangelizing. We have to approach and reach out to people who have no Christian background. And how do we address that? And how do we answer their questions? The cults do what they, man, the cults, they give out badges and stars and everything else for this. But us as evangelistic, as true believers of Jesus Christ, are we preparing ourselves to go out and evangelize to the stranger? Because the people who knew you when you wasn't saved, or the people, you know, your family, that's a different kind of evangelism. But let's think about the evangelism to the Gentile, who has no background, no understanding of Jesus Christ, and you are the tip of the spear. You're on the front line. Are you going to be able to speak into someone's life and explain, make them give them the knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ and what they must do to be saved, why they must be saved, why they are sinner? But the only way we can do that is through our prayer and through our study of the word. Amen. Amen. I have one of my brothers here on the line. I want to bring him in real quick on this point. Deacon Anthony, can you hear me, sir? Uh-oh, I lost him. Hello.
Praise the Lord, sir. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. I got you now, bro. I got you. Amen. Amen.
Man.
Amen. I was doing a short intro on evangelism, bro, and how we have to, what I was sharing with the brothers out there, and those that may be listening, that we have to be prepared. We have to approach evangelism to this lost world, to this culture, the same way Paul and Peter did when they went, and the other apostles, when they went out outside of Jerusalem, outside of the Jews, into the Gentiles who didn't have no background with the God of the Old Testament and were able to share. I call it evangelism to the stranger, not those who knew us, not those we might have, you know, been around, our family members. You know, that's one, to me, that's one type. But that other type of being able to go out into a Gentile world, to an unbelieving world, and share the good news. What do you say to that, sir? How important that is, and we have to prepare ourselves for that.
Yeah, you know, one thing about that is that you got to depend on the Holy Spirit. First of all, your relationship with Jesus Christ has to be intact. I can't stress that enough because what's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the thing is that if you're not really talking about Jesus Christ as much as you should be, what is really in your heart to talk about? Your love for Jesus Christ, just like your love for any relationship that you have with any brother or any person in your life who's close to you, speaking about that person or even mentioning that person to a stranger or to any person, just really shows where your heart is and where your mind is all the time focused on that person. So I think what it is as believers in Jesus Christ, in order to evangelize, you got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit will give you what to say to the person at that particular time. The thing about the apostles is they went outside of the city, or what you would say their comfort zone. And you met people where they were when you spoke to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They understood as far as the things that Jesus Christ spoke to them and how they would suffer persecution. They would suffer a lot of things for his name's sake. They didn't understand it during the time that, to a degree of when he did speak to them about those things, but it really actually evangelism tests your faith a lot of times. you have a lot of people who have several different backgrounds, as far as if it's, say, if they say spiritual backgrounds, there's so many different religions out there. So it's trying to dissect the narrative or the things that they've been taught and told over years. And then God would have to prepare the hearts of those people to be able to receive from you. From my own testimony, I remember when we were doing prison ministry, and ran into people who didn't have the background, or who had a background of Christianity or followers of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to say Christianity as if it's a cult or something like that, but believers of Jesus Christ, they walked away from that type of faith or that type of practices or traditions based on what people presented before them. That's why in some cases evangelism can be so, I guess you could say, intimidating to a lot of believers. They don't know what to say. And then when they are asked a question about their faith, a lot of times they take it in a negative way and they want to try to defend, and they want to try to convince the person that this is right and you're wrong. It's not necessarily a right or wrong situation. In evangelism, what you want to do, especially now, and you just meet people where they are in your testimony. If your testimony really brought you to a place where you repented and you wanted to grow stronger in the relationship with Jesus Christ, and you understand the gospel and Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was for you, then you'll be able to relay that to the individual or the hearer. And then your lifestyle changes later. But even if you're in a strange area or a strange place or out of an area that's comfortable for you, what is comfortable, even if I don't know the word front to back, I know that what God has done for me. And I think that in evangelism, that's the starting point. You know, your relationship with Jesus Christ really reflects your relationship with the members and the body of Christ. There's many members but one body. And not all members act the same, just like your normal body. My hand doesn't do the things that my shoulder does, et cetera, et cetera. But they're all working for the same purpose. So when you are out and you're evangelizing, a lot of things that would trip people up is what to say during those times. And what is it that God would have you to speak over their lives or speak to them? And, you know, you want to pray. You want to be led by the Holy Spirit when you do it. And just be ready, though. You have to be ready. Once you pray for those things and those things come to pass, you have to be ready to give an account for the hope that's in you. So I think in evangelism, what we need to focus on, and the most importantly, is what actually drew you to Jesus Christ and what has happened in your life to draw you to repentance, and use that as the narrative, because that's what the word says in Revelation. It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, not by, you know, quoting scripture backwards and front. That's actually teaching and discipling. Once you are evangelizing and the Holy and God gets the glory from evangelism, once you plant that seed, then now you have to begin to nurture. And, you know, one plants, one waters, et cetera, et cetera. So you allow God to add the increase in that person's life. But if the person receives Jesus Christ right there, then the Holy Spirit will give you what to say next in that piece in order to disciple the person. But I think it is a hunger and thirst after righteousness that gets us to the point to where we're not comfortable in just our own salvation. We really, our heart truly goes out for the people who are lost and the people who feel like they have no hope and the people that's been trying other different type of religions and faiths, et cetera, and still looking for answers. But, you know, not to deviate from the testimony of in the prison ministry, it was just interesting how I was the believer of Jesus Christ in the room, or Christian, quote unquote, and the rest were of Islam. And it was more so question, answer. But what I did allow them to understand is that, you know, I'm not going to prove God to you. That's between you and God. you know, faith is not a thing where I prove it. It's God actually living through me, and he proves it to the world. So it's always being ready and being a thing where you know what to say. They did have some things that they wanted to debate. I could sit here for hours and tell you how the conversation went. But it was a lot of things that they were unsure of or uncertain of. And, you know, and the thing is you don't want to get into debates with people of right and wrong, because what you may do is push them away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nor do you want to try to merge their religion into what is the truth that we know. So there's a lot of things as far as when you're discipling and when you're planting seeds and evangelizing, but you definitely want to be ready and you definitely want to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Amen. What do you think, Deep?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, bro, I agree. And that's one of the things that, again, we have to be prepared. We have to have an answer for the hope that lies within us, because, you know, when we're talking to folks, you know, what you're saying is all about, and that's where the evangelism about being able to share your testimony, to articulate it, to know what and know what you believe, and how to share that with people. And I think that's very important when it comes to the evangelism. And yes, and I do want to agree that it is salvation is of God, and someone to hear the gospel and then accept the gospel is the working of God in their life, is the working of the Holy Spirit using you in a given opportunity. But we have to be in our place. We have to be prepared. We have to be in our place to be able to do that as the church, as true believers, and as the church, because that's what we're called to do. We're called to evangelize the whole world, to fulfill the Great Commission. But are we in place? So we, each man, each husband, father, son, has to look at himself and say, oh, am I ready? Am I preparing myself to share? And like you said, are we participating in ministries that give us opportunity to share with the lost or with the unbeliever or the person who has questions? You know, it's another thing I've been touching upon. You know, who are we spending our time with? Are we spending our time with unbelievers so that God can use us to reach them, or are we putting ourselves in a little? Thinking of the word here, but you know, we surround ourselves with Christians. All we know is people who think like us. And how are we fulfilling the great commission when we're doing that? You know, who are our friends? Who are we talking to? Who are we interacting with? You know, because we're going to talk something here in a few minutes about fellowshipping, but there's a place for the unbeliever in our lives, because they have to see us, that we have to be, you never know what circumstances or opportunities God's going to use and the Holy Spirit's going to put you in where you can share the gospel, share the principles of the gospel, or share a word of encouragement, because we have to engage the culture. And that's what I think that some of it too is. And but we're afraid to do that, because once we get saved and now we don't want to have nothing to do with other folk who used to do the exact same things we used to do, which is a whole other conversation. But I just want to encourage the body of Christ for the brothers out here that, you know, we have to overcome and those fears and those hindrances. Because, again, if we have the Holy Spirit living within us, like you said, D, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to push us. It's going to push us to do and be obedient to God. If that's what the Holy Spirit is going to give us what we need, and he's going to push us to do it. And again, like you said, I like what you said. I love God so much, I can't wait to tell somebody about it. We love everything else, and we can't wait to talk about it, because I'm going to step on some of these brothers' toes out here, because we can talk about every team that we love. We can talk about LeBron. We can talk about all the things that don't matter, but we don't have that same, we have that same passion. Let me ask that. I'm not going to accuse nobody, because that's not the kind of guy I am. However, do you have the same passion for your team as you do at Christ? Just line them up side by
Amen.
Side and tell me who wins. And we're going to leave it right there. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You all listen to Issues Christian Mentor. I'm Deacon Thomas Paul. I'm here with Deacon Anthony. And tonight, we want to talk about fellowship. We want to talk about our fellowship with other believers and how important it is. And what does it really mean to be in fellowship? You know, because we say it a lot, we stick to net, we stick fellowship, because right now, you know, I've been in church a while, since the 90s, and it seemed like every time we have fellowship, we stick it on there, and it's like, guys, you know you're going to eat. So you know you don't have to eat before you leave the house, because fellowship means there's going to be some food. Now, I'm not going to say I don't like that, but sometimes we get caught up in that, because if I tell you fellowship and you show up and there ain't nothing to eat, then we're going to feel a certain way. Amen. But let me open with scripture. I want to open with scripture. I'm going to go to 1 John, because I think 1 John is going to set us off to what we're talking about tonight. 1 John chapter
Amen.
1, and verse. I'm going to verse number 7. But if you are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. Verse 8. If we claim to have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all wickedness. Amen. So tonight, I just want to talk about at verse 7 when it says we have fellowship with Him and we have fellowship with each other, and how important it is for us to have successful fellowship. Because as you know, anybody who's been in church a while, you know, been in body of Christ a while, you know, some young Christians, I don't want to discourage you, but you may hear a lot of things from some folk because they have issues and all kinds. They call it a lot of different things, which some of it, to me, I just don't understand. You know, they call it church hurt. They call it all these other whatever. They were disillusioned by the church. And you even mentioned it, too. You know, folk were in church, but then they walked away for it for whatever reasons, or what they were being taught, or for people's lifestyle. But the successful fellowship is one thing we have to do. It's about the Holy Spirit living with us and the quality of our faithful relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I think that's where it all starts for all of us. I'm not going to hold anybody more accountable than I do myself, but I believe it all starts, because we can only have fellowship with those that we have in common, and Jesus Christ is that common denominator. What do you say, brother?
Yeah, that's you know, it's one faith, one God, one baptism. So when you're speaking about fellowship and with the saints, you have to have that fellowship in order to encourage each other, and that's with everyone who is a believer or part of the body of Christ. The one thing though is that you want to make sure that they're spiritually mature. And you pull that person to a standard of accountability, and you encourage him to keep pushing forward no matter what the circumstances is. Just like your natural body, like, you know, I know we use the body and God uses the body of Christ as an example. But the thing is everything that's in the body supporting the body? And that's one of the things that we have to understand as far as when we say fellowship. Fellowship is not always just a big gathering. I think that's what people misunderstand, I guess, the meaning of church or the meaning or the purpose of church. The thing is that everything has to work in order and on one accord. And one accord meaning that the body functions because it knows that they know their position in Jesus Christ. They know where they are in Christ, and they want other brothers around them to be able to pray and, you know, to be able to go out to evangelize in different groups and different things like that, so that God is glorified in ministry. However, a lot of things is more people, instead of being in fellowship, is people wanting to be in leadership. And that's where people gravitate to the church to be in different positions and be in, you know, different groups, and they want to be in different choirs, and they want to do things thinking that the deeds that they're doing in the church is really effective, I guess you could say, worship or service to God. And they can put that and present that before God and said that, look, that what I'm doing versus let me be a vessel for you to pour inside of me so I can go out and be who you called me to be. See, God's will is always pushed aside when you say fellowship a lot of times. It's more so what the church now wants to do in the building. And I think reading from Scripture and just knowing what Scripture says is what Jesus Christ wants from us, is he wished that no man perish, but all men come to repentance. And that should be the church's mission. And that should be what our agenda is all the time. Even in effective Bible study, Sunday morning worship, those things are good because we get together and we're excited about the things that Jesus Christ does and the things that God has already brought us through and the things that we can expect him to do based on what the word is saying and what's going to come to pass. However, I think it's just putting it into a perspective of, am I going to the building to just be entertained, or am I going to the building for a purpose? And, a lot of times it's just people going in and being in there in groups a lot of times. I fell into mm-hmm. that same thing before, you know, where I went to the church because I knew people that were there. And I wasn't really fulfilling the purpose that God would have for me because I was in groups. As long as the group was doing something, they were pleased with me and I was pleased with them. So it's like, you know, we fed off of each other based on what we did in Christ. And those deeds really weren't governed by Christ because we didn't actually search the scripture or search what God would say about what it is we were doing. The fact was, is just that we knew each other when we were out in the world, and it was just good to see people who we haven't seen in a long time, and we're doing the same thing. So fellowship a lot of time got away from what God wants to do once we are together instead of what we should be doing, you know, for the glory of God and for the kingdom of God. And I think it's a perspective that the believers have to be, I guess you could say, retrained and rethought. Because even with this pandemic coming in now, what is it that we're preparing for now? You know, it's, or were we prepared for this season in our ministry? And that's the things that I think people don't dwell on. And people really, you know, it actually either draws you to Christ or it may push you away from him. Because once everything is taken away, who are you now? So it's a lot. It's a big teaching in what it is that God wants to have come out of our life to produce the fruit that he would be pleased with. I know in the Word of God, Jesus talked about the fig tree. And the thing is that the fig tree was unfruitful, even though it was the season for the tree to be fruitful. And because it didn't yield the fruit that it should, it pretty much died. The life force that was in it pretty much got choked and withered away, okay? And that's how it mm-hmm. can be sometimes, even in fellowship. You could be getting fed the wrong thing, and now because you're supposed to be fruitful in this season, you're unfruitful, and your fruit can actually die. And it is our responsibility to keep continually watering, or what you would say, touch base with each other, even during this pandemic. Reach out to those brothers and say, hey, man, just wanted to, you know, call you, see how you were doing, et cetera, et cetera. Because we can get caught up so much in what we're doing outside to where we can't refocus and regroup. So it's a lot in fellowship that we have to understand as believers and to make sure that it lines up with the kingdom of God and what God would have us to do in fellowship. What you think, Deke?
Amen. You know, because you're right. You're right, because it's the purpose of our fellowship. And you said a lot there, and it is. It's sometimes we get together because we want to entertain each other, and we call it fellowship. But are we, like you say, is God the focus? And are we trying to, again, glorify him in our fellowship, in our gatherings, in the things that we do? Or, like you touched on a lot there, we just come together because we're happy to see each other or see somebody we're comfortable with, those that we're around, and do the same thing we've been doing. But are we? When do we come together in fellowship that God will get the glory and that we are being used in our numbers and our gathering of men, particularly, to advance the kingdom of God? Are we holding Amen. Each other accountable? Are we doing, are we having, even in those fellowship gatherings, are we checking everybody's oil? Are we coming there to encourage one another? Or are we just coming there to feel better and be entertained? or to say I was at a men's group, or I mean, you know, it's a lot to it, because there's a purpose. Everything has a purpose. Again, when we're in the world, we know we have meetings in schools, we have meetings at our jobs, and they come with agendas and purposes to fulfill their vision, the agenda of the company, or whatever, the mission, the goals. Do we, as Christians, we come together, why are we coming to? Does anybody ever ask, why are we coming together? What do we want to accomplish after this meeting? Or just say we were there and everybody, I was happy to see you. That's not why, to me, we haven't done anything for God. How would we glorify God in that? And then, like you were saying,
right,
too, in the midst of this pandemic, are we reaching out to those around? Are we reaching out? First of all, let me break this down. Because this is where, I'm glad I got my own show and no sponsors. Brothers, how many church folk have you called and reached out to make sure they're okay? How many, not even in your church, in your circle of influence? These are the men you call your brothers. Are they all, do you know that five or six of them, are they doing okay? You know, what do they need? Are they all right? You know, you have, it's so much. But if you're not engaged in true fellowship and you're not really connected with one another, you don't think of these things. You're worried about getting back in the building. I'll be glad when another Sunday come and we can get back in the building. But really, is that all we really are? We have to look at ourselves in the mirror. And so you wait. So you're telling me you were happy for the last whatever years before the pandemic hit, what they shut us down in March. It's been 30 days. So you was happy with that once a week, 2 hours to see your people that you call your brothers in Christ, but now you can't call nobody up. That you was happy to see them on Sunday, once a couple of hours a week, but now with everything that's going on, again, because we can't assume everybody has everything they need, or they don't need, or whatever. But are we connected? Are we praying for each other? Are we encouraging each other along the way? Some of your brothers, some of your members, some of our brothers out there, they've been furloughed or laid off because of their occupation. Because not everybody's essential. Not everybody that was going to your church was essential. But have you reached out? And to see, you know, the only really people out here working, it's a few, like, I mean, we know the hospital workers, and there's a few other careers out here who still are people who are going to work, but there's a lot of folk who are just staying home and waiting. And are we reaching out and encouraging them? Are you calling up? Someone's going to hear your voice and say, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Are you all right?
Yeah.
You know, some people, they got to go out every day to get a check. You know, they don't have vacation and all this other stuff. Some folk had jobs where they had to be there every day to make it, but now they're not. But now, as a church, do we know in our local congregations, do you know other brothers who might need something to continue to keep his family down, to hold it on? Because we talk about a month. I know everybody got their stimulus check coming, but, you know, if you're 3 weeks without a paycheck, I don't think $1,200 is going to help you, but I don't know. It may not. But we the body of Christ now. And this is one of these. This, to me, was an opportunity and a test of, are we really connected to one another and looking out for one another? Okay,
Amen.
And I don't want to go there, but you know, the prosperity preachers, man. I guess the church should be empty when this is over.
Uh-oh.
But I'm not gonna. We're gonna save that for later. Amen.
Come on.
Because man, when you stop and think about it, I didn't want to go down this road, but when you think about what you've been being taught the last 6 months. Does any of it right now sustain you and give you hope? Let me put it that way.
That's right.
The church you are, the ministry you're part of, does any of the things you've been taught in the last 6 months, can you feed off that right now and have hope and know that God is in control? And know that this thing is not, a lot of people saying a lot of things about it, but is God in control? And then it goes back, and then when I say fellowship, you know it's your church. Have you heard from your church? Have you heard from your brothers and sisters that they call you brothers and sisters? I mean, just think about it. But let me say too, because also I want to hold the brothers accountable, the mature saints, have you reached out? First of all, do you have their phone numbers and know where they live? But that's another show. But have you reached out to check on folk as men of
that's
God?
Right.
And are we in our fellowship? of other believers. This is what the churches is should be. Because just now if we look at the book of Acts and we look at church history of the persecution, the church only could depend on each other.
Mm-hmm.
So this
That's
is
right.
just
Amen.
One thing. So in this 21st, 22nd century, whatever it is, when the church starts to get persecuted in other ways, are we standing together during the persecution? Mm. Because, you know, we're going to fight because, you know, the persecution comes subtle. I don't think we're going to be, think we're going to get another like Nero and burning Christians at the stake. But when they start coming after churches and telling people about what they can believe and all, because they're doing it now in the court. But again, that's deeper. But our fellowship is, are we drawn closer to God and closer to each other in our fellowship? Because Jesus made it clear that our true fellowship is caring and loving one another, being there for one another. We're connected with one another, you know, and then I think that's where we have to now evaluate ourselves as the body of Christ, as men of God, and especially brothers. I mean, just to check on another brother when you know he has a family, you know stuff's going on. Hopefully, do you know who's working and who ain't working? I mean, it's just little things. You know what I'm saying? And then when we know about resources and things, are we caring for one another? That's what I think the biggest thing I want to know. So we talk about fellowship, because the word that's used in the New Testament is that koinonia, and that it's more than just the coming together for a meal to have a good time. It's we are engaged in each other's lives and we're caring for each other and encouraging each other. It says, we know in the scripture, I can't think what the scripture is right now, but we know, do we weep with those who are weeping, and do we celebrate with those who are celebrating, you know? And that's my paraphrase. But some people are weeping, some people are rejoicing, and are we alongside with them? And are we encouraging each other? And this is where, again, this is where us as men of God, these are the spaces we have to start to step in. Because this is what God has called us to do. He's called us to lead. He's called us to bring order to the chaos. We're called to encourage one another. If I encourage that brother that, you know, whatever he's going on with his family and do what I do, I know, because you know, as I do, we talked about Pastor Sharp. Pastor Sharp said, you know, if he got it, you come to his house, you can get some. You know, do we have that mentality? You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
You know, and if we know the resource, are we in fellowship? So that's – you just stirred that up in me in the fellowship part, because in the midst of all this, because all in the midst of this is it. All we is our fellowship with other believers. We all
it's
confess
real.
Christ, and because my other part, my other segment of the show, I'm going to talk about the things that separate us, but this is a season and a time to be drawing us together closer as a church. You haven't been in your building. Most folks ain't been in their building in 4 weeks. But is the ministry stronger or weaker right now? I mean, that goes all the way from leadership down to the last guy who came in before the pandemic. But is the ministry stronger or weaker now? You know, but again, we are the church. So are we stronger as the church or are we weaker because of what's going on, our faith, and we can't, you know, we don't have that we don't have the buildings. You know what I mean? We don't
have
the building, so all of a sudden, does everything stop? Do people stop needing prayer? You know, we have a Sunday service, and folk coming for prayer. They need prayer. You know, we encouraging one another. We talking to each other. We seeing what's, you know what I'm saying? Are we still doing that?
Yeah.
Are we still doing that? Are we blaming because we don't have the building? We don't see and talk and see what's going on with somebody.
Right.
But again, as men of God. Go ahead.
That's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you know, Christ in us shouldn't stop or be put to a halt just because some things outside have been put to a halt. And I think we really have to put that out there as far as what the church was for in the first place. Because right now it looks like the church was just a place to be entertained, you know, and to be a part of a group. And like you said, like with the mega pastors and the mega preachers and all of those folks, like I know they had enough finances and enough resources to be able to help out the congregation during this time. But how many of them have actually reached out or sold their jets You know, I'm just saying.
you
can't go nowhere right now. I mean, you can't go nowhere right now. You know. So, did you sell that jet?
You know,
so that you
this is why, see, bro, this is why I ain't got no sponsor. You see what I'm saying? This is what happened. This is what happened. But you know, but you're right. You're right. What was the focus before this, and now when your people in your congregation are in need? Let me say this. You know, we don't necessarily have to know what the right hand's doing, what the left hand's doing, and make it public. But for the brothers out there in your congregation now, I know we like picking on mega pastors and churches, but in your house, the church that you belong to, is everybody okay? Let's start there.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? My house is good. Me and my wife, you know, me, my wife, my kids, I got grandkids. I got these. But now, you know, it's again, our circle of influence. Is everybody okay? We checking on everybody, because we can't criticize the other man. And we got a big log in our eye, because we don't know what's going on with any of the members of our church, because we ain't seen them in 3 weeks. Whose fault is that? You know, and what are we doing to make sure? Because again, it's more than just having. I know you said the mega church, because I'm not even getting to their finances and all the books and everything, because I'm not the IRS. However, I go back to what Pastor said. If I got you need, let me know. I mean, let the word out, you know, and then send it to whatever. Let somebody know, so you don't have to go without.
Right.
Because we are the body of Christ. I'll say that for every ministry, every person that's listening, you know, but we have some, because we all have, we have different relationships within the body. So check on all the people that's in, like, again, I use it as a term, your circle of influence. Those that you are really connected with, reach out and make sure and tell them, hey, if you know somebody that I don't know, let me know, and we can connect them with something. But that's what we should be doing.
Amen.
You know what I mean? But,
that's right.
Okay, but amen. That's what the fellowship is about, because this whole thing that's going on, this is a test and an opportunity to strengthen ministries, or see where how strong ministries are, or is it just about Sunday praise dances, flag ministry, mimes, and never mind. I'm sorry. Let me get back. I mean, focus. Amen. But, again, you listen, this is Christian Ministry Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Parr. I'm here with Deacon Anthony Lee, the brother, joining me tonight to discuss the fellowship and our fellowship with other believers and the importance of us connecting and staying connected and being connected, you know, even in moving forward from this. Because, again, this too shall pass. This is not unto death. But this, again, was an opportunity to see where we are in ministry and in fellowship with one to another. Bro, I'm gonna shift gears a little bit. I'm gonna drop it down into about third here, because I do want to talk about broken relationships within the body, and what can we just? There's so much to that, but I think one of my biggest things I think about broken relationships within the body of Christ is we put people on pedestals, and we have higher expectations for others than we do for ourselves. So when they don't meet our unfair or unmerited expectations, we have a problem. What do you say, sir? And then we want to break people or leave churches, whatever. But the fellowship is broken because we put people up here, and then when they don't meet that expectation, somehow it's God and it's the church and it's our fellowship is broken. What do you say, sir?
Well, the thing is what we have to understand is that we have to walk in love. If Christ is on the inside of us and a lot of believers, then it shouldn't be an argument to treat the next person or one another with love. It shouldn't be forced. In other words, you shouldn't have to remind a person to love the brother or love brethren or, you know, to love one another. There shouldn't be something that causes division in the body of Christ. However, we know that that's not the reality of everything. And I think a lot of times when you see that happen, one or two things happen is because a person, where the word of God says, iron sharpeneth iron, a friend to a friend. But you have to make sure that you're hitting iron, because if not, then you may be hitting somebody or cutting an individual is what I would say. But the thing is that you in everything, you want to make sure that God is the center of what it is that you're doing one for another. A lot of division is caused, number one, when something is stirred up in gossip, or when someone takes something judgmentally. And then in a lot of ways there could be division because of the context of what the word is saying and how the person interpreted for themselves. So it's a lot of things that leads to the disconnect and the division in the church, in the body of Christ. And it happens even with religion a lot of times. Religion, because of the interpretation or how a person would interpret something versus what the word says and let God be glorified, that's where the division lies. And now you have a whole bunch of religions out there that is divided because they don't really want to come on one accord with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. So it's like that even in the fellowship. A lot of people have different backgrounds and different experiences. So when you come with the word of God, a lot of times to help a person or strengthen a person or to encourage a person, you just got to make sure you're doing it out of love. If Christ is not on the inside of me, I won't know how to treat you, you know. And if you notice, even when Jesus was walking on this earth, the Pharisees and the scribes, which were church folks and rich religious leaders, they had a lot of influence over the church during that time. So what they did was they challenged Jesus Christ and who he was and what he was actually doing. And I think that's a lot of things that take place in the church now. Instead of Jesus Christ being glorified, a lot of people may teach the narrative of doing right and wrong. And works is what's going to be pleasing to God versus God pleased with the works that he's doing through you. So that narrative, I think, causes a lot of the division and the disconnect in the body of Christ. You know, and then there's church hurt. You know, what I mean by church hurt is basically someone that was hurt by members in the church and just disconnected themselves from the whole body, you know. And then now they're uprooted and they're in search of a new teacher or leader or a new place, as if that's going to fix the problem that's on the inside of them. And because of, you know, different divisions and different things, that is what draws a person either away or draws a person to Jesus Christ based on what we do. So a testimony I had, I never forget, I used to tell people, you know, once I actually became mature in Jesus Christ and I started reading the Word of God, the Holy Spirit began to minister to me and let me know that a lot of the practices that I saw that people didn't actually line up with the word. It lined up with more tradition. And it grieved me for a while because I was thinking, well, how many people came under that tradition, you know, who really won't read the word for themselves to show themselves approved to God, not to pastors or anything. You study the word to show yourself approved to God so that God can be glorified in your own personal life. And then you'll begin to know how to treat and talk to one another. But once I started to read the scriptures and study, and the Holy Spirit began to translate a lot of things and let me understand things, certain churches and traditions at that time, it grieved me. It just grieved me because I knew the truth at that point. And so me knowing the truth, I had to actually allow the Holy Spirit to glorify God through me in ministry. So then I know how to love one another. I didn't take what people may say, you know, I didn't take it, you know, personal, or I wouldn't get try to get back at him or anything like that. But if Jesus Christ is on the inside of a believer, a true believer, now I'm talking about a true believer, a person who really accepted Jesus Christ and really knows, they can love that person, okay? Because Christ on the inside of you will draw you to love that person. And just like you were saying, reaching out to those people, reaching out to those people who you just know who were in the church before this pandemic actually happened, that you reached out to and that you said, hey, you know what? I don't know what resources you have, but here's a care package. A lot of times people are focused so much on greed and losing things. And that actually plays a part in giving into the ministry as far as, you know, with finances and what God has blessed you with. To whom much is given, much is required. So you got to understand that God gives you the things that you have. He allows you to have the strength to get what you have, and then you use that to bless people in the ministry or outside of the ministry. So if Jesus Christ is on the inside of us, I think that if we're hard-hearted, we really can't listen to the Holy Spirit. We'll quench the Holy Spirit. But I know that because Jesus Christ is on the inside of me and what he's done for me, I can actually take that same love and give it to somebody else, you know. And I think everybody has to have that mindset. Are we kingdom-minded? Are we really focused on what Jesus – do we really want Jesus Christ to be glorified? Do we really want people to be saved? Do we really want people's lives to be changed? Do we really want to make sure people have the resources and the things that they need? If your heart is really right, God will make sure and provide those ways if you have a desire to please him by in your giving and in your love one to another. What you think, bro?
You know, you're absolutely correct. I think it goes back to why we started this conversation. Only way we can have successful fellowship with one another is that we have a connection through the Holy Spirit with God and through his son, Jesus Christ, that our faith. Everything that we do and say as men of God, as Christians, as believers, it's all, the foundation is Christ. The foundation is our faith in Christ, our fellowship with God, our understanding why God created us, the purpose and plan he has for the church, for you as an individual, for you and your family, that you are led by the Holy Spirit, that the Word of God is your foundation. It is your blueprint. And, but brothers, that's just it all goes back to that. Everything about us as Christian men is about the Word and the Holy Spirit living within us and our surrender and our humility. And are we being obedient to what God has called us to? Are we being obedient to his word? Are we abiding in him? These are all the things that we can only get through developing spiritual principles in our lives that we now can walk this thing out, that we can walk in the light and be the light and be salt and show love one to another. Because, again, in the church, there's going to be a time, there was a time, and I believe there's going to be a time that the church is going to have to depend on one another. There's, I believe, the one another teaching. I've been to a couple of them. There's like 50 or 60 one another's on specifically written by Paul, by Peter, and by John about how we should treat each other as believers in Christ. I confess Christ. I look to others. I hold others in higher esteem to myself because I want to serve them and love them and let them understand that God loves them and use me to love them. And how we treat one another, how we look out for one another. That's why that fellowship piece is when we look at how it was lived out, what was taught, how it was used to encourage the body of Christ in the book of Acts and in some of the other epistles. It's about us taking care of us and being able to stand and being able to encourage one another along, even in the midst of when stuff is going on. When it's not going your way, when you're struggling as husbands, we're struggling with our wives, we're struggling in our finances, we're struggling in our emotions. Who are we going to go to? We're going to pray to God, and then now who's in our life that we can lean on? We talked about iron sharpens iron. I know sometimes it becomes a cliche for men's ministry, but it's not. It's about holding each other accountable and holding each other up. And are we in those kind of relationships with other Christian men? And then how are we helping? Because, again, it's something I recently heard again. I've been following Tony Evans for a while, but Tony Evans talked about that. You know, who are we holding up and who are we helping? You know, and who are we encouraging along the way? We have a kingdom mindset about this thing, that Christ is first, and the Christ is first in our lives, and how Christ wants us and who Christ wants us to be in all of it. And I just want to be able to stir up and encourage the brothers out there. Look in the mirror. Are you truly of the faith? And look at your relationships around you. Look at the fellowship. Look at the relationships you have with other Christian men. And then now, you know, you may not need help, but are you a source or resource for someone else? Are you praying with somebody or for somebody? You know, and again, in this time, because of the separation, if you weren't doing it before, what's the plan when the church starts coming back together? Are we going to be different when we get back in these buildings? I mean, that's something, you know, I've been meditating a lot on, and, you know, but I think every man, I don't care if you're a pastor, apostle, whatever you are, to the brother who, like I said, the brother just got saved on Christmas. Are you, when we come back together physically, what kind of church are we going to be? We are the church. Now, what are we going to do different? Because we've seen what the challenges that we have right now. But when we come together, I think we should come together with a different mindset on how we want to do ministry, how we want to reach the lost, how we need to encourage one another. Because if the governments and the states and all and the governors and the president, if they say, okay, the shutdown's over, how many people are going to be running back to their jobs, to their things? And now you're going to have the other end of the spectrum is folk can't come to Bible study, folk can't come to church on Sunday because they're all doing overtime. I'm just saying, how are we going to do ministry? Everybody's going to be doing overtime, trying to catch up with their loss or whatever. Are we going to trust God then? Because again, when we go back, and nobody's coming to Bible study, everybody's doing overtime, everybody's putting in 60, everybody's working. They working Monday through Saturday, so they taking Sunday off. Because this is life. This is what's going to happen. But now, what are we going to be preaching then? And then as men, what choices are we going to make? Because it's going to be us talking about, you know, because in our natural mind is, I need to do some more hours so I can catch up. I know where you are, brothers. I've been there, done that, understand it. But are we going to trust God? Are we going to still trust God? And is our hope still in him that we still are going to be in our place? Are we still going to be part of ministry? Are we still going to all the things? I mean, some of the stuff that churches were doing may necessarily, this may be God's opportunity to prune and purge some of that stuff, but still. Lord help me. but there's still going to be some, you know what I'm saying, bro? But there's still going to be some things that the church that we're going to have to, we committed to, because we are Christian men, that is still going to be taken care of, that need to be done. We still need to be out here. We need to be volunteering. We need to still be ministering. We need to be going beyond. We need to be doing for the least of these, and not let, you know, I got to go back and I'm doing double overtime, two shifts, and everything else. So I'm too tired for Bible study. I'm too tired for Sunday. And I'm too tired to go to the prison ministry or outreach ministry or the all the things the church was doing. When we come back, are we going to come back? And come back balanced to the things of God still have priority in our lives. And each man has to stand and look at himself in the mirror and choose what he's going to do. Because nobody's thinking about it now, but when the time comes. So I think this is why we have to have a vision. We have to have purpose. We have to know what the word of God says about who we are, whose we are, and what are we called to do. And we have to lead our families. We have to lead those in around us to be held accountable. Uh-oh, we lost one. Uh-oh. Amen. But we have to continue to just continue to press in to those things and be able to go to move forward. But I want to go. We're going to go with one more thing here tonight, It's because you touched on a lot, Gabe. Because you called them a lot of things, but those denominational traditions really separates the church and breaks off fellowship. Mm-hmm. But what I want to also talk about too, one thing before we go is in the next closing few minutes, is our fellowship, our true fellowship. Where does it fall? Well, I will say fellowship. Well, I am going to say fellowship with the unbeliever. Our connection. It's important that we have a fellowship with the unbeliever, but the unbeliever doesn't have overwhelming influence on us. What do you say about that, bro? How do we find that balance?
Well, one thing is that you want to look at the things that we both have in common. We both have to make a living. Okay, we both have to work. We both are not exempt from any trial or tribulation in this life, okay? But there's a difference in faith. So the things that the person may believe and the things that we believe just are different. But it doesn't mean that we can't live in the same world or occupy the same space. There's certain things that unbelievers do that I won't do. You know, I won't participate in. Because of my relationship with Jesus Christ and because of my faith in Jesus Christ and who God has called me to be. So I think one of the things that we should focus on with unbelievers is we shouldn't have a desire for the things that they desire. You know, if God really pulled us out of the world, we shouldn't focus on the world as they do. And that can be, I guess you could say, miscommunicated in a lot of ways. Because right now what it looks like is that the world has more influence on the church than the church has influence in the world as of right now. So it's the same thing in 2 Timothy when it says perilous times will come and men will become lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. So it's the people of God that are going out having this form and living riotously, modeling what the world is doing. And it's a lot of, I guess you could say, believers who we lost our foundation as far as our values in Jesus Christ. Our priorities in Jesus Christ have changed. Our outlook on being a Christian and being connected to the body of Christ have changed. It's a lot of views have just changed based on that, how it evolved. The church has evolved. And I think if we are more in tune with the Word and more in tune with the Holy Spirit, that's what keeps us rooted into the things of God versus us being, you know, loose. You see, your foundation will be loose based on your faith. Your faith can waver a lot of times. You know, sometimes, like you were saying, with the overtime, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we know that God will provide for all of us. This is what the Word says, and this is where we can actually be stagnant in our faith. And I'm not condemning anybody because I've been there as well, where I was weary a lot of times. Bills actually need to be paid. Things need to be done around the house. And I know God's Word says this, I shall supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. He said, I shall do it. This is something you shouldn't have to pray for the things that you need. Like, my children don't actually come to me for things that they already know that they should have. They may come to me asking me for things that they may want. And there's a difference. See, so God is going to take care of my needs. Now, I'm going to trust God, but the world may say, well, I got to put in more time at work in order to take care of these needs. So now it's just a way where you place your faith. If my faith is in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to believe that he's going to make a way for me and that I surrender to him, because now I don't want to interfere with God may have as a blessing for me. And now I don't even have time for him. So it's a thing where our foundation and where we should be as far as in Christ. And I'm not talking to the born again believer. Because there are some things and there's some trials that I had to overcome and that God allowed me to, you know, be tempted of earlier stages in my walk in Christ. okay? It's some things that I actually came up against. It's some things that either I had to go with what I know or what was reflex for me. Like if I needed some money or if I needed, you know, a place to stay, I just resorted back to the streets or did a lot of things that I know God wasn't pleased with. But I used to pray that God get me out of the thing alive so that I'm able to pay my bills or do what it is that I had to do. And it was crazy during that time because I didn't have anybody to really nurture me as a born-again believer. And I know those things may come up. But the thing is that you have to trust God. Okay, trusting God is actually connected to your love for him in a lot of ways. One of the things God had me to understand, and he laid it on my heart, he was allowing me to understand, is that he says, if I'm important to the point, if I'm important to the point where you'll put me first in everything, what is it that I will hold from you? Or what is it that you can't ask me for that I won't give you? Because, see, if your heart is in the right place and you're actually in tune with the Holy Spirit, I won't keep a good thing from you. God is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. And not just seeking them just in the word, but also being available and helping one another and to encourage one another and to be there to be a resource for somebody else. He knows where your heart is in those things, so he'll keep blessing you because he knows you're probably going to give it away anyway. Because if you have the heart of Jesus Christ on the inside of you, then it's Christ who's doing the work through you. So what I would say, and a lot of our approaches and our foundations, even with the unbeliever, is we shouldn't act like them who have no hope. We have hope in Jesus Christ. And that's where our foundation lies. If we believe to the point of not being thrown in hell, why is it we can't trust God in everything else? Okay? And that's where God actually hit me in the core of my heart. He said, if you trust me with your life not to be thrown in hell, because you don't have control over the afterlife anyway. That's something you haven't seen. You don't even have control over this life. You can't control the weather, can't control the pandemic, you can't control anything that takes place in this life. So if that's the case, why don't you just lay it all on the altar for me to take care of? You know, so God is not, you know, to be used, I guess, in a sense of like a magician, you know, like I want this and this, that I should have a Rolls Royce outside, you know, because Lord, I need a car and you know my heart, you know the car I want and the car I desire and you should have it there. But see, the thing is that God also knows your heart to how mature it is. He knows he's not going to bless you with more to where you actually will go out there and hurt yourself and keep you away from him in his relationship with you. So he's not going to bless you in that area. So what I would say is that for us, we can live in the world with unbelievers, but we shouldn't be converted to them. We should live a life so that they would want to be converted to Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's my thoughts. What are your thoughts, Deep?
Amen, amen. You know,
Amen.
You know, you're right. And then that's, I think we have to stay focused on the things of God because, again, we can't be distracted. And I think that's where, again, I think it's distraction. I think it's we get caught up in a lot of things that are quote-unquote, quote, Christianity and entertainment and, oh, this is okay. I think we compromise in trying to draw folk in, you know, trying to be their friend. I mean, you know, if we don't have nothing really in common, we have things in common, we have things that are not in common. And unless there's a clear line, I think what it is, the line is blurred sometimes. And sometimes we do it. I've been guilty of it too. But then as I look back over my life, I've had more solid discernment. That's what I'm going to use. We have more distinct discernment in lines that we won't cross as we, again, this is about us maturing in Christ. It's not about the unbeliever. Because, again, when we were unbelievers, we did what we did, and we were bold with what we did. We didn't have a problem with what we did because we didn't see no wrong. Our standard and our whole standard and our foundation was different. But in Christ, as we mature in Christ, like I want to say this to encourage the brothers out there and those who are listening, as you grow and surrender to Christ, the lines of distinction between what an unbeliever does and how they think, it'll be a bolder, clearer line. It won't be a fuzzy line, because sometimes things are fuzzy because we really don't understand it. And do something, and then it's what I used to, like you said, it used to be what our default was. It didn't seem that bad when I was doing it, but then as I grow in Christ, I see what I was doing was absolutely not in the line up with Christ or pleasing to God. Because remember, the things that we do, we sin against God. It's not about we sin against God first. I mean, it affects those around us and in our circle of influence and those who would depend and rely on us and look to us. But our sins are against God, and that's where we start to recognize the things, because if we do the things that pleases God, it will start to please those around us. And then that's how we start to draw closer to and deeper fellowship with folk and decrease our fellowship with other folk, because as we draw closer to God. So it's not about personalities. It's not about, like, I don't like you no more, all that, because sometimes that we can't have that kind of attitude and still love them to be able to preach to them. But as I draw closer to God, sometimes you don't have to, you know, some folk are just going to step off, but I don't know if they call it now, but they're going to separate from you because you're going to draw closer to God. But in the midst of that, there's going to be opportunity when you're going to be able to reach now back across that line and tell them, because you know what they're going through, you know where they've been, and now you can say, well, over here, or this is why I don't do, this is what God says about your circumstance. And I believe that because this is what God has taught me. Then that goes back to our testimony. So again, God has a plan for all of us to be used in this outreach, in fulfilling the Great Commission. I talked about it in the beginning of the show. And part of it is our fellowship. As we draw closer to the body of Christ, we're growing closer to God. We're going to grow in the things of God. We're going to reach that maturity level. I mean, we're not going to reach, but it's not about reaching perfection here on earth, but it is reaching a certain level of maturity where God is using us. Because until He comes back, or we stand before Him and we have our regenerated bodies, we're not going to reach perfection, but we're going to be more obedient to Him. And that's what we, as men of God, to be able to seek. And how do we want to please God while we're here? For the life, for the years He's given us, because no one knows how long we're going to be here, but for these years, for this day, for this hour, what am I doing to please Him and advance His kingdom? And that should be our passion. And again, if we love God, and you said, and you touched on that, I mean, I heard you say that before, if we trust in God for salvation, that He won't cast me in the pit of hell and live eternity separated from Him. I don't know why I should be able to trust Him for everything here in this temporal realm. That's going to be gone anyway. And let me tell you, brothers, it's stuff that you think you got. No matter how old you are, it doesn't really matter. Think about what you had 10 years ago, and where is it today? That's all I'm saying. 10 years. Let's go back 10 years. I don't know if it's a car, a house, a girl, or whatever. Where is it today? It's out of your life, and you moved on. Well, let me go 20. Unless you've been married, you got the same girl. That's cool. But the other stuff, you know what I'm saying? We used to do this in a men's group. We used to tell brothers, what was your first car and where is it now? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, where is it now? The first car you ever bought, you know, with your own money, whatever. You might have got a loan. You might have been a secondhand, a hoopty, whatever. But where is it now? And compared to what
That's
you
right.
have now. And then you do realize what you have now that you cherish, and you're doing in 10 years. You know it ain't gonna be there, because remember, every car in the junkyard was brand new one time. I'm just saying.
That's right.
Every one of them cars in the junkyard where you go to get spare parts for your car was brand new. So again, these things on this earth are temporal, but we have to sow into our life the things that are eternal. And that is what God wants from us, to be pleasing to Him as men of God, to stand, to lead our families, lead in the community, and lead in the church. So, brothers, I just wanted to encourage you here. We're going to bring this thing in, because we can keep going all night, but we're not going to do that.
Amen.
But, amen. But again, we just want to encourage you. the importance of fellowship, our fellowship with one another as believers. Let's encourage one another. Look in the mirror. Who are you encouraging? Who are you encouraging? Who's in your life? Who's in your circle of influence? Reach out. And then before we go, bro, I want you to pray out for us, and you get to close the statement. But and I also want other brothers out there to understand, if you're not part of a local body, if during this whole pandemic situation, a shutdown situation, you're not being missed by nobody, ain't nobody looking for you, ain't nobody, you ain't calling nobody, you ain't on no Zoom, you ain't on no Facebook Live, ask yourself why not. Why can you confess to be a Christian and you're not part of a local body and you're not under a man of God, a shepherd, who's looking after your soul, who's discipling you? You can't disciple yourself. Because God can use, but how else do you know? You know, there's one thing about discipling is you're hitting the mark, you're meeting the mark, you're doing it better, you're getting better. Again, I look at the book of Acts, I look at Paul and John Mark. Paul called John Mark, go back home to your mama house, you ain't going with me out here no more. And ended up, God used John later to write one of the Gospels. He went back out. He was able to do the things of God. He just went with Paul, and then Paul had a problem, and Paul didn't want him around him no more. However, God still had a plan. So for the Long Ranger out there, take opportunity. Hook up. I mean, all the technology out here, you might see somebody who's preaching that you might want to meet face-to-face. But I encourage you, be part of a local body of something. You know, and let me say, I'll say this plain, as in bold as I can. You know, when our time goes, the path, who's going to preach our sermon? Who's going to preach our eulogy? Who's going to preach our service? Because I'm seeing a lot of folk are having, quote-unquote, mortal services in funeral homes. So I don't know, I can't judge no man, but if you're not part of a body who can celebrate you, a pastor that can stand before, you know, you need to be part of a local body. Just let me leave it like that. Because I already told my family, we're not going to have my service in a funeral home, but we're going to use somebody's church and we're going to fill it up. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. This has been Deacon Thomas Barr. It has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're here every Monday night at 8, every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. You can always reach out to us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk, on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk, and you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Barr. You can listen to the rebroadcast and archive of this show and all our past shows over the years. And just to say a word of encouraging to the brothers, be encouraged. Believe, have hope in God, trust God, and God will bring you through. Brother, can you pray us out, and I give you the last word. You have a wonderful evening. And again, brother, thank you, man, for taking time out. We did a little overtime tonight, but I appreciate your time and you coming and sharing the wisdom. And I pray the words that you said will lay on someone's heart and just stir it up, the spirit within them. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want to say thank you, Deke, for having me on. It's always encouraging to be able to share and to be able to be filled up as well and to have these discussions, because it is somebody out there who may be struggling, who may need to hear this, who may need the encouragement to understand that we're not perfect people, but we are constantly being perfected by the Holy Spirit. So it's always a blessing to be here and to be able to share and to be able to, you know, communicate what God is doing in our lives and to be transparent in those areas. I want to say that whoever it is out there, I don't know who it is, but God is not through with you yet. The things that is coming upon us, we just have to hold on to what God has said in his word, that he will take care of us. He loves us. And for the person that's struggling with whatever they may be struggling with, whether it be sin, finances, or whatever, just keep their eye on Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's not easy, especially right now with the separations and the social distancing thing. It's not easy to really, you know, communicate with those people that may have been role models in our lives, and, you know, being able to go see them. And I'm not talking about just with the fellowship. There's a lot of brothers out there who gravitated to the streets that they can't even hang out at right now. So I pray for those brothers. I pray that this is an opportunity for you to get right with Jesus Christ and that God would be glorified. And in that, I will actually close out in prayer. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you. Father, we thank you once again for another opportunity, Father, to speak your word, Father, to encourage those brothers, Father. Father, forgive us for the things that we take for granted, Father. Whatever any brother right now that's listening or anyone, Father, all over the world may need right now, Father, whether it's healing, whether it's resources, Father, we just ask you to meet the needs, Father. Father, use this time, Father, for you to be glorified. Forgive us for what we take for granted, Lord God. We thank you and praise you until we meet again, Father. It's in Jesus' name, amen.